Please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Chapter 5. Let's read together as the Lord begins the Sermon on the Mount, these teachings that are sometimes referred to as the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, as the Lord begins this three-chapter sermon that's recorded in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Let's read beginning in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In some respects, many have described the Sermon on the Mount as kind of a constitution for the kingdom, a declaration of what the new covenant will stand for. And in many respects, if that is the case and we think of it that way, these Beatitudes, these statements of blessing at the beginning, serve as kind of a preamble to that. And I'd like us to think just a little bit about what these teach us about the kind of people that we ought to be, the kind of attitude by which we ought to live our lives. First of all, you'll notice there in verse 3 as it describes the idea of poor in spirit. I don't think this is the idea of having a low attitude towards oneself or low self-esteem. That's not the idea, but it certainly is talking about an attitude of humility. Are we arrogant? Do we have so much confidence in our own thoughts and our own imagination that we're not willing to submit ourselves to the Lord? There in verse 4, I don't think the idea is that the Lord takes some kind of delight in those things that make us mourn, but I think we must recognize that there is a contrast between the things that people of God will face and experience here in contrast to the hope that we have set before us. There'll be things here that will cause us to mourn, but if we maintain our faith, if we continue faithful to the Lord, even though we go through those things that bring us sorrow, bring us sadness, lead us to mourn, we will receive that comfort in our relationship with God in Christ and ultimately in our hope of eternal life in heaven. Verse 5, blessed are the meek. This certainly kind of echoes the idea of verse 3, being poor in spirit. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is not timidity. We said it before many times that some Greek writers would use the term that's translated meek here of a horse that is held within control. And I think that certainly is something important for us to think about. Are we in control of our attitude, our emotions, our disposition? Are we meek in that respect? And here the idea in verse 5 where it describes inheriting the earth, this is not suggesting that this current place is going to be our hope and is going to be somehow rejuvenated as some would teach. I think the Bible makes it very clear that there is a new heaven and a new earth that is associated with eternal life in heaven. And I think that's the earth that's being talked about here. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We've talked before about righteousness and how righteousness is kind of, there are two aspects to it. There's not only that which is defined as right for us to do, but there is righteousness in that sense of standing right before God. God's people, if we're to be disciples of Jesus Christ, we're to be the kind of people that long for both aspects of righteousness, as if we were hungering and thirsting for food and drink. And what a beautiful promise it is there at the end of verse 6, that if we are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, we'll receive it, we'll be filled, we'll be satisfied. You know, this life is a life in which there is never any ultimate kind of satisfaction. But what a blessed hope that is, that we can long for righteousness and we'll be filled one day. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. We certainly stand in need of the Lord's mercy every day of our life. We'll look a little bit later in our morning lesson at the fact that none of us can stand before God and say that we are free of sin. And that being the case, we are dependent upon His mercy that's demonstrated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now that calls upon us to have a certain disposition. Can we, if we hope to receive mercy from God, fail to demonstrate that towards others? No. Blessed are the merciful. Notice, they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Now, we might think that it's somewhat contradictory. If all have sinned, how can anyone be pure in heart? You know, I think a lot of it must be that we must recognize that continual battle to keep ourselves, to make ourselves, to put away those sins of the flesh, that we might be pure in heart. And perhaps one of the most encouraging promises of this whole series of blessing statements or beatitudes comes at the end of verse 8. They shall see God. You know, we're told in Scripture that now because of our condition, now because of circumstances, no one could see the face of the Lord and live. But there's a time coming in which that'll change. A time coming in which it's not just going to be faith, it will be sight. Who will be able to enjoy that? Well, if we strive to be pure in heart, it will be those who will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. We live in an age in which there is conflict at the drop of a hat. Everyone seems to be at odds with one another. People of God ought to be different than that. And the people of God, even though there are those things sometimes that we must be at odds with someone about, especially if we're talking about truth, especially if we're talking about righteousness, that's part of hungering and thirsting for righteousness. But that doesn't mean that we are hateful in our disposition. That doesn't mean that we're looking for a fight. And so often, you know, even when it comes to disciples, the true disciple of Christ ought to be one that's striving to help each other live at peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Notice, they'll be called sons of God. Then the last here, verse 10, describes the idea of persecution. And remember, we noticed earlier that we are to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, what's that going to lead to? It's going to lead to being persecuted. But is that a condition for which we ought to be ashamed? Is that something that we ought to try to shun and keep away from? Again, we don't go looking for a fight. We don't go looking for persecution. But if we receive it for righteousness' sake, we can be assured that we are citizens of the kingdom. And this is one of the blessing statements that in my Bible, it will set off the verses down through verse 10 and then put in regular paragraph form the commentary on verse 10 in verse 11 and 12, where there the Lord kind of responds to this and comments a little on it. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Notice, rejoice. Who would rejoice over being persecuted? Notice, it's not that we are glad somebody's angry with us or we're glad someone persecutes us. We rejoice because great is our reward in heaven. Our hope doesn't rest here. We rejoice because we are in the company of others that have been faithful to the Lord that were persecuted as well. I hope that we think about this in our life. I remember years ago, and I've probably said this in lessons before, but I was really, as a child, I was really upset about something, and my older brother Curtis took me aside and pulled out the Beatitudes and challenged me to think about these kinds of things as sort of a course and a direction to steer my life. And I hope that we can do that this morning as we prepare our minds and our thoughts to worship God.